After experiencing the transformative power of a regular meditation practice, it's natural to feel inspired to share this gift and guide others on their own journey of discovery through meditation. Join Buddhist teacher David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell, comedian and creator of the Netflix animated series The Midnight Gospel, for a free online event on Tuesday, May 7th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. They'll discuss the profound practices of mindfulness in Dharma Moon's renowned mindfulness meditation teacher training program. Get certified by Dharma Moon to teach meditation, lead group practice sessions, and work with individual students. Visit dharmamoon.com/beherenow for more info and to reserve your spot for the free online event with David Nichtern and Duncan Trussell.
Hi, it's Raghu and Ram Dass, and this is Ram Dass Here and Now podcast, and it's our first of the year, 2017, and thanks for joining us live, so to speak, here. It will be taped and sent out, but live with me right now, and to say a little bit about what's on your mind for this new year. Of course, we all have quite a bit on our minds as we are about to go into this new year and a new president. And I, on a couple of different podcasts that I've done recently, we've talked about how we got together in Maui and had that wonderful retreat. And certainly this topic came up of what everybody's going through, anticipating this new administration and the things that are going to happen. But before anything, I just want you to say hi to everybody.
Hi there, everybody.
Give us a happy new year. Happy new year to you.
Happy new year. Happy new year.
Happy new year. So one interesting thing, I just read about this in the paper. I read that Governor Jerry Brown and the government in California hired Eric Holder, who used to be the Attorney General for Obama, and hired him to basically defend the initiatives that California has begun and wants to continue around environmental issues and immigration. And I thought, God, that's a leading light in somewhat of a dark view around these two, certainly these issues, if not many, many, many issues that the new Trump administration is going to bring in. And then, next thing I hear, you had a hangout with Governor Brown just the other day. Yeah. He came to visit you. Can you just tell us a little bit of that? You know, that's a wonderful circumstance, certainly.
Well, he and his wife came to visit, and we talked about love, and we talked about Buddhism, and we talked about the initiatives that California is protecting
environmentally.
And yeah, we had talked about environmental issues. But we didn't talk about politics.
No.
No.
You didn't say a word about it?
No.
Wow.
No. No. I figured he came to here, I came to as an old friend, and he's got enough of politics.
Yeah, I bet.
I didn't want my curiosity be the leader from of the discussion.
Yeah, right. I get you. I get you. And you've known him for quite some time, right? Since the 70s? Yeah. So I imagine he really was coming.
When I was in California, we hung out with those same people. So, and he took me to meet with the Black Panther,
Oh,
the head of the Black Panthers.
Huey Newton.
In Oklahoma, yeah.
Huey, yeah. I remember
Yeah.
that. So anyhow, that was kind of serendipitous because we have been hearing how Jerry Brown is really not going to kowtow to the federal government and the way
Yeah.
that Trump wants to eviscerate the environmental agreements in Paris, etc., and immigration and the wall, all that kind of stuff, that he is not going to stand for it. And he really, by hiring Eric Holder, he made a statement that they are going to defend what they're doing. So that was just kind of a cool thing that as this is happening, he took a little vacation and decided to visit you. I thought that was great. So obviously there is, I in between the words that I'm exp saying right now, there's the implication of the fear and the anger that are so evident in this country from those progressive people who really do believe that the scuttling of this environmental these agreements and the kinds of things that Trump is wanting to bring to the table are scary prospects. In a I did a podcast actually with Sharon and Salzberg and Danny Goldberg last week or a week ago. And I had watched this Noam Chomsky, I believe you know who he is, yeah, philosopher. And he said the real issue here is what the next generations are looking at if all of these things come into effect and there isn't the tide is not turned around the environmental issues. That I mean, he can be very dramatic. He said, "We haven't seen this kind of cataclysmic event in 200,000 years." That what we are looking at. It's like I said, so I mentioned this, in the podcast, and Danny said, "Well, as much as I love Noam Chomsky, I do think he can go a little bit overboard and." He talked about recognizing the big picture, the historical fact that we have gone through very, very dark times, and there always has been a light that we have followed that has, and nothing is permanent, et cetera, and we need to have that long view, not just the short view. What do you, yeah, what's your feedback on that?
Well, I'm for getting out the long view.
The long view, yeah.
Long view.
Yeah.
And every time things like this, Maharaji, he'd say, it's perfect. It's perfect. Now, I know that many of your listeners would be feeling repulsed, that word.
Apoplectic, and, yeah. Apoplectic is yeah. what that is.
And I think it's feeling your feet, if each of us find our there's two things. There's being and there's doing. The doing is social action, and we all have to keep our being. We've got to keep our quietness inside. We've got to keep our love. We've got to keep our compassion. We've got to keep our wisdom. During this time, and on the action side, we all know what we can do to alleviate the effects from Donald. And I think that I've learned that social action and spiritual quietness and listening and the witness, to witness the whole thing. This is the thing we can do, that these two things are coming in. I'm not telling everybody to not follow their social action, but I want everybody to go into that social action with this quietness and love and wisdom.
It's beautifully said. I do want to go back to this thing. I don't want to gloss over it, because many people really do. We talked about how upset people can get with, because this is something that you mentioned in the retreat we had in December, where you had an idea to go help people in Bangladesh at that time, and drive there and act as an ambulance with your vehicle. And when you mentioned it to Maharaji, he said, Ram Dass, don't go. You don't need to go. Don't you see it's all perfect? I just think that there's levels of that statement. The level of, first of all, where it's coming from, a being that is not in duality. I mean, we are so fixed in duality, in trying to do things, thinking that we will better them. Trungpa Rinpoche had a great line about that, and he called it idiot compassion, that we think we're going to do something that's going to be helpful, and it has the opposite effect. So a lot of the times we don't know what it is that we're coming at it from, from such a duality place that we may not have the effect that we think we could have. That's one level, and the other another level is, and you correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, he is speaking to you as an individual in that moment, from where you are and where your whole, all of the causes and conditions that have brought you into that moment and into that thought that I need to do something, I need to take that action. And he's speaking to a place in you in that moment to raise your consciousness to a level of understanding the big dynamic, right? Rather than being stuck that yep. I need to do something. So I feel like when you do report that, it's all perfect. Ram Dass, it's all perfect. Many people react because how could it be all perfect? Look at this suffering. I mean, it's an age-old question, right? And I think that it needs to be explained within the context of you and your relation to Maharaji in that moment, and not and something that you needed to hear in that moment that the guy next door didn't need to hear that, and it wasn't right for him. So I think that, you know, that there's a contextual thing here that's going on between Maharaji and you. Is that am I in any way near a truthful
you're
thought?
Near you're near. I think that it was true. It was there then. And in this political scene, I don't think we all should be sit back and just be it's just perfect.
Yeah, right.
But I want to say just that in the social action, you anything that you do with a negative, with frustration, with anger, don't you because that will rile, and you should do your social action with love. I put Trump on my puja table, and it's good work for me. He's good work. He's good work for everybody, and there, I mean, work to inside the fear and anger and all those things. That's the work. Mm. That's the work. Yeah. Is that inside you? Because love it. I mean, those things are thoughts, and those thoughts are not productive of our, then if you identify with your soul, you love those thoughts. And I think it's hard to do that, and the hardness is the work.
Mm. Right. Talking about fear, I found this quote from Thich Nhat Hanh, who I know you know, and fear keeps us focused on the past or worried about the future.
Yes.
If we can acknowledge our fear, we can realize that right now we are okay. Right now, today, we are still alive, and our bodies are working marvelously. Our eyes can still see the beautiful sky. Our ears can still hear the voices of our loved ones. A poetic way to say what you just said, as far as I'm concerned, eh?
Yeah, that's
beautiful.
Yes, that is beautiful.
Yeah.
That is beautiful.
And he also, another one I found, we need enlightenment, not just individually, but collectively, to save the planet. We need to awaken ourselves. We need to practice mindfulness if we want, or witness, as you've always used that word, to, if we want to have a future, if we want to save ourselves and the planet. Collectively, we need to enlighten ourselves and everybody else. So I think there's another thing that that we all have a very hard time with, and that's as you say, we have this wonderful opportunity with Trump, who is a poster boy for us, for everything that we feel is negative and that's going to take place in these next years. And some people will say, well, he's evil, dark, evil. I mean, it becomes a fixture in their minds, in our minds. And so I found something from His Holiness that I wanted you to sort of comment on. And he was asked about this. And he was mentioning in this particular case, it was the axe that brought down the buildings on September 11th. So there was the question to him was, are some people just really evil and that their nature is evil? And he said, this concept of evil, even the very word evil, can be problematic. As we have discussed before, it seems like in the West, there is a tendency to see things in absolute terms, to see things as black or white, all or nothing. On top of that, under the influence of mental states such as anger, this tendency becomes even stronger. A kind of distortion of one's thinking, one's perception, takes place. So as I mentioned, when you think of such people or events, you immediately seek a target, right? Looking for an individual or group to blame, something concrete that you can direct all your anger and outrage at. And in that state, you see things in terms of all good or all bad. You see people as good or evil. So from that perspective, you might view a person as purely evil. But from a Buddhist perspective, we have no concept of absolute evil, in the sense of evil as something which exists independently, something that is not caused by other factors, that cannot be affected by other factors, and cannot be changed or modified by other conditions. Absolute evil has a sense of permanence, so we do not accept the idea of evil people in the sense that a particular person's intrinsic nature is 100% evil, and they will remain that way because it is their fundamental, unchanging nature. So basically, if a person commits a very destructive act, you can say that act is evil, no question. And you should always oppose that act as an evil act. You must take a very strong stand. And let's say that the person's motivation for the act was hatred, then you can say that both the motivation and the action it leads to are evil because of their destructive nature. But we still cannot view that individual as an evil person, intrinsically and permanently evil, because, and here's the big thing, there is always the potential or possibility that a new set of conditions will come into play and that very same person may no longer engage in evil behavior.
Boy, that's good.
Isn't that? His Holiness, yep. The Dalai Lama. And don't we get into, and then this brings to the point of the polarities that we get into of good and evil, and in this case it's so easy to just have that target. You know, he represents that target, and we just let loose at it all through social media. Yeah. All through whatever left-wing media in this case, and that polarization starts to influence our relationships and our attitudes towards people who brought him into power, who voted for him, and I think that creates the kind of bifurcation. Within ourselves, that makes it almost impossible to have any kind of dialogue whatsoever with people who we don't agree with, and so how do we deal with that? How do we deal with people who have who in this case directly supported Trump and have a completely different attitude and opinion about how this country should be led and some of the things, particularly of course around the environment, which in many cases people don't believe.
I would tell them and to tell yourself, wait and see, because we have this evil thing in ourselves, and the person they and we are Americans. That's their tribe. They aren't the other. They're part of our tribe. And so that's what's frustrating us. It's okay. And one of my doctors is a Republican, and more than that, he thinks Donald is quite good. and we don't talk about politics. We don't talk about politics. Yeah. But I can see his mind. But I think we've got to get aware that Trump steps on our freedoms and our way of life. But I think we're anticipating. And I think that's wrong. That's the, you're quoting that, because past and future are the storyline, and we don't have to be caught in the storyline. And let's just get here now, at the moment. And I know people say that I'm hiding in spirituality. And not taking the situation seriously. But I'm understanding, I do take this seriously. But I'm being, by being joyful and loving and compassionate and wise, we are In this moment, you examine your ego and examine the environment. And we can do that. We can do that. And we can do that, and that will cause a lot of light in the situation. I talked to Jerry. I said to him, I'm spreading love. That's what I'm doing for the situation. And he took that, but but from where he's standing, Raghu you and I, we are knowing Maharaji. Interesting to look at Maharaji and look at Trump and around real power and real wisdom, and then our fears dissipate, and the people who are terribly afraid by this situation, they look at me and see, why isn't he afraid? And I have this compassion, this Maharaji and Trump comparison. Yeah.
And I think it goes back to what you said earlier in this conversation around love. When you talk about, I mean, just occurred to me as you, when you said we have Maharaji, and to just imagine taking, and then you mentioned Trump, right? Right in the same sentence. And so for me, I had a picture of Maharaji. This is just what happened. And what that always leads me to on a, you know, immediate basis is this different feeling inside of more of the kind of unconditional love that it is. Then I start to hear that statement, it's all perfect, way more than I can when I'm in polarized, which is probably what he was getting to you about, you know. When you live in unconditional love, then you act in the right manner, you act in a compassionate manner. So it actually, I mean, talk about putting it in action, but I had that all-encompassing feeling when you said that to me just in this moment about Maharaji, that we've had that experience of that unconditional love. And then Trump came into my mind, an image of him. And then suddenly that his vibration and my projections of him as a quote-unquote bad person got completely surrounded by this Maharaji-ness, which unconditional love, you know, that's just a name we have by virtue of a body we saw all those years ago, and that we have a relationship beyond a body with now, encompassed that projection of that being. And not to say, you know, I mean, as much as, you know, you say, well, we got to wait and see, and I have a hard time with wait and see when he's already proved so, you know, by virtue of every cabinet. I talked to Lama Tsultram the other day. She said, yeah, every time he elects a new cabinet minister, I sink down even further, you know, and that's a reality. But there was a way in which I could understand in the moment of surrounding, of the truth of surrounding this in that kind of vibration of unconditionality. And what His Holiness yeah. said, that nobody is intrinsically bad, evil, nobody. And the only way that we can actually allow a person to grow and to change at all is to set up that unconditionality within ourselves. So, yeah.
Good. Good.
We reached a conclusion good. Here. It's all, love is all you need, right? John Lennon was right.
That's right.
That's so great. And the other thing, in talking about love, Sharon, at the end of our little podcast the other day, which you guys can find on the My Mind Rolling podcast with Danny Goldberg and Sharon Salzberg, because I think we called it Love is Beyond Time in relation to this whole situation. And Sharon said, love is not a feeling. It's an activity and also a responsibility. And that kind, I love that because it tied it to we become that, and then that is social action. That responsibility, it's what you're doing and what you've been saying you're doing, which is I'm shining that which I have worked on in myself to be able to connect with that unconditionality of love. And I think it's a nice thing. That is a responsibility.
It's a responsibility.
That is our responsibility, yeah.
For sure. And it is a social action.
Yeah. Very much.
That's what I felt from the SAVA Foundation.
Mm.
They were talking responsibility, but they and they looked at me. What's he doing here? and I looked at myself that way, and I saw that I was responsible. I was responsible.
Mm. Mm. Right. Oh boy.
And I, yeah. This book that Ramesh and I have been doing, it's a book about my life, and the relation of spiritual and social action, it's complicated.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
It's complicated.
Yeah. Yeah.
So complicated. Because it's emotions and awareness and consciousness.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good New Year's message, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
The new year is surrounded and in you by love. By love. We're just getting going with this evolution, evolution of consciousness. I want all of you to feel your soul, and that's who you really are. Who you really are. That's a message.
Thank you.
That's a message.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. So lovely, so lovely. Happy New Year. Ram Ram.
Happy New Year. Ram Ram.
Everybody, Ram Ram. This is your podcast, Ram Dass Here and Now, that I am the host of. And happy to be so, and lucky that we've been doing this for quite some time. And we're going to do some more as this new year progresses. So tune in next week. And this is all due to the provenance of the Love Serve Remember Foundation that Ram Dass and a bunch of friends started many years ago. And, of course, ramdass.org, and now the Be Here Now Network, .com, which has all these wonderful podcasts and teachers. So thank you for being with us, and we will see you next time around.